So I want to talk about the crucifixion a little bit today. That's my intro. Let's go back there for a minute. I think we're going to see some cool stuff. Yeah. You ready? Okay. Just take yourself back to that place. You're on that hill, the place of the skull, Golgotha. And there's three crosses there. And in the center, Jesus is suspended between heaven and earth, nailed to that beam. You can hear voices around you, the people that are there. You may even smell the scent of the wind coming across the fields, carrying whatever fragrances it might have. There may be animals nearby. You may hear that. You may hear metal upon metal. But let me ask you this question as you look around, as we stand here next to the cross. For all you Bible scholars and all of you who just happen to might be familiar, who do you see? There were several people gathered there at the cross. How many people were there at the cross where Jesus was crucified? Let's see if we can identify some of them, okay? Anybody? Who was there? John, the Apostle John. His mother, Mary. Yes. Mary Magdalene. Two thieves. That's right. Crucified on either side of him. Very good. Roman soldiers. A centurion included. Pharisees. Somewhat different countenance than perhaps Mary. Anybody else there that day? Simon of Cyrene that carried the cross for him. Ooh, gee. What's that? Probably didn't want to be there. Did he, Chris? No. Carry that cross. Oh, brother. You know what you got to do again someday. You know, Easter's next week. I'm just saying, you know. Just saying. Anybody else? Who was there? Bunch of citizens, yeah, just felt sorry that the crowd that followed him. Anybody else? What's that? Yeah, Mark got that one. Yeah. Yeah. What's that? Ray Bolts. Anybody else? Is that pretty much cover it? Yeah, as we stand here before next to the cross and we see his mom, she is undone. She's in the arms of the Apostle John as Jesus looks down and says, "Behold, mother, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." Let me suggest one other person who was there. Well, Jesus was there. Thank you, brother. Yeah, we didn't mention him. Huh? You gotta wonder. Wow. Yeah, Jesus, yeah, he was set free and Jesus was crucified. Wow. That's an interesting thought. Very good thought. Let me present another idea to you that you may not have considered. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. We're going to put it up there. Romans chapter 6, starting at verse 1. What shall we say then, says the Apostle Paul? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? If Christ died for our sins, if His grace covers my sin, and His grace is to His glory, should I then go out and sin a whole bunch so that it glorifies God? I don't think so. I think not. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2, certainly not! How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death. Just, you know, in like that baptism, when you lay Him down into the water, they go into water, buried with Him into baptism. So that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Verse 5. For if we've been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him. Thank you. That's what I was looking for. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Hallelujah. There is so much power in those words. So here we are at the cross. We're looking around. We see Mary. I feel like Romper Room. I see Mary. I see, you know, Johnny. I see. I'm dating myself. I have no clue what I'm talking about. I see the centurion, the soldiers, some of the disciples, a couple of them, one or two. I see Mary, I see, you know, the crowd. And son of a gun, there up on the cross hangs my old man, not my dad, not your husband, unless he's saved. My old man was crucified with Him. There he is. If you could, you know, I know we got this thing down here. Raise that for just a second. Oh, I love that. There he is, crucified with Christ, hanging on the cross. My old man was crucified with Him. You can bring that back down. Thank you. Appreciate the special effects. Not only were the people who were specifically named in the Gospels present there at the cross, but if I am saved, if I am in Christ, then I was there too. More specifically, my old man was there, nailed to the cross with Christ. Not my dad, my old man. My old nature, my sin nature was nailed to the cross with all of the commandments that were against Him, all the list of things that I had done, all the shame, all the guilt, all the condemnation was nailed to that cross. But not only my guilt, my very nature was crucified with Christ. Because when Christ comes into our heart and causes us to be born again, when we say, Jesus, come into my heart and save me, then by His Holy Spirit, He comes into us. You know, I'm not going to get into the whole Calvinist predestination, when does regeneration take place thread. I'm just going to say, when we are saved by faith in Christ, His Holy Spirit regenerates us, causes us to be born again, comes into our heart, and Christ dwells in our heart by faith, by His Holy Spirit. And when that happens, yes, when that happens, our old man dies. And a new nature comes alive inside of us. Our spirit becomes alive. And 2 Corinthians says, if any man is in Christ, he is a what? A new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I am now a new creature in Christ with a new nature, and His Holy Spirit is now in my heart empowering me. And so because of that, God says in His Word that my old nature has died. It's dead. Rigor mortis. It was crucified with Christ on the cross. And because of that, are you ready for this? Are you sure? Can you handle this? Can you handle the truth? Because of that, sin no longer has power over me. Sin no longer has authority over me because I am no longer its slave. I used to be a slave of sin. No more. I have been freed from sin because He who has died has been set free from sin. Now, we want so much to be able to rejoice in that, don't we? But so many times when you preach that message, you kind of get a couple of nice smiles and everybody just kind of has this wistful look on their face like, yeah. Yeah, it's there. Yeah, it's the word. Okay. How long is this going to take anyway? What time is it? If that is true, you may ask. You may. If that's true, why do I still struggle with sin? I believe it's true. I want to get excited with full integrity and not just pretense. But if that's true, if I'm a Christian and my old man is dead, if my old man is crucified with Christ, why do I still struggle with sin? I'll tell you. See, I'll address that in a minute. Trust me. If I am a Christian, if my old man is crucified, if my old man is dead, why do I still struggle with sin? Here's why. See, the problem is, you still struggle with sin. And you're like, I know. I just said that. What's the answer? My old man is dead, but I still struggle with sin. What's the answer? And the answer is that the problem is that you still struggle with sin. And you're like, I know, D'Souza. Yeah, see, I just said that. I said, my old man is dead, but I still struggle with sin. What's the problem? The problem is you still struggle with sin. I know, I just said that. I want the answer. My old man is dead. He's dead. He's crucified with Christ. I still struggle with sin. What is my problem? I'm telling you, your problem is you still struggle with sin. I know! Hold that thought, brother. Your problem is that you still struggle with sin. Okay, let me shed some light on this. Let me try a different approach. This is not meant to make light of your struggle. Trust me, I say this with all true respect and compassion. And compassion. I have wept deeply with people I love deeply who struggled with sin. And it is not pretty. It is not easy. It is a hard road. And if you are there today, I want to give you hope today. This is not a theology lecture. Hopefully this will lead you into encounter of the living God, and you can find victory in Him and in His Word. If you struggle secretly or openly with sin. Let me shed some light. The problem is we still struggle with sin. Let's take a different approach. Here's two scriptures that will shed some light on this. First of all, Romans 8:2. God's word says, for the law, for those who are born again, if you have received Christ as your Savior, these encouragements come from God. He says in Romans 8, chapter 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What freed me from the law of sin and death? The law of the Spirit of Christ. You ever heard of the law of gravity? If you stand on that speaker over there and you just lean over far enough, what will happen? What? Oops. Why? Because of the law of what? Gravity. It's not just on the books. It's real. It is a force. It is powerful. It exists. It will pull you to the ground. The law of gravity is a power. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is an empowering force inside the believer. For the law of the Spirit of Christ, of life in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. And Galatians 5:16, Paul says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's say that together, Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's say that one more time. 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Praise God. The Bible says that there is a power inside of me when I am recreated. It is a new nature. It is not simply a theological, trivial fact. It is a living power. It is the life of God dynamically changing me from the inside out and giving me power not to sin. Now, as I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Therefore, the key is not trying to crucify my flesh, struggling and striving and straining and working in my efforts to try to subdue that which is already subdued. The key is not in trying to kill something that's already dead.